ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
First of all, I would like to congratulate all those devotees who have been successfully up until now able to follow the Pandav Nirjala Ekadashi. How many have been successfully up until now able to follow? So we can understand, especially on these days, how much is our intensity in our absorption in Krishna, when there is nothing much we can do as far as our body is concerned, and we come to know that we have to figure out ways and means to get absorbed in Krishna. Sometimes we think that our daily sadhana is something very great which we are performing. But just one day of total disassociation from this body, we can't say total, but almost we are trying. The most important thing for the body is to give it something to eat or to drink. And then because of that, so many other bodily functions are need to be performed. So we can check the intensity of our absorption in Krishna on such days. We were singing all these songs, and we sing the great souls, the great acharyas, when they show their absorption in Krishna, how much insignificant we can feel in front of them. Just like the Brajavasis, we were singing the Gopi Geet. And the absorption of the Brajavasis in Lord Sri Krishna was so much that we were hearing from Dayaram Prabhu that at times they were in deep meditation to somehow forget Krishna. Krishna was so much the center of attraction for all of them that it was becoming difficult for these Brajavasis to concentrate on anything of what they would call the worldly affairs. In fact, one time Narad Muni saw, as he was passing through Vrindavan, he saw the gopis, they were sitting in lotus position, wrapped in meditation. And Narad Muni was surprised as to how come these gopis are sitting in Padmasana doing some kind of yogic asana and meditating on whom. So when he found out, inquired from them, they said that we are performing some austerity by which we should be able to remove this Krishna from our heart. Because of this Krishna who is in our heart all the time, we are not able to perform our daily chores. And when we hear such kind of a dedication or this kind of emotion which appears to be so far out, in spite of so many years of chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, in spite of seeing the deities every day, day in and day out, in spite of hearing so much about Krishna, we feel how much we become expert in practicing the motions of devotional service without even remembering once the object of our sadhana. And this is the power of material energy. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vidur meets with Maitreya Muni, so beautiful verse Vidur, he is reciting, in which he speaks about this predicament of the living entity within this material world. He says, Janasya Krishnat Vimukhasya Daivat Adharmashilasya Sudukhitasya Anugrahayaiva Hicharanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. He's saying, Janasya Krishnat Vimukhasya Daivat, that the living entity of this material world, in fact, he is giving first the resultant effect of what is seen within the conditioned living entity of this world. So he is saying, Sudukhitasya. Everyone is Sudukhitasya. Not just Dukhitasya, but he prefixes it with that Su, that sufficiently people are miserable within this material world. Sudukhitasya. And what is the reason of being sudukhitasya in this material world? Adharmashila. That they are under the banner of adharma. Therefore they are sudukhitasya. And why they are under the banner of adharma? Because vimukhasya daivat. Because they have turned their face away from Krishna. And therefore great souls like you, Vidura Munis, saying to Maitreya Rishi, great souls like you, anugrahayaiva icharanti nunam, just by their wandering, when they reach to these conditioned living entities, bhutani bhavyani jana ardhanasya. One of the names of Krishna is jana ardhan. Ardhan means to remove the suffering of jana, of the living entities. And therefore, he is called as Janardhan. So Lord Krishna, who is called as Janardhan, who is always residing in the heart of these compassionate souls. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, beautiful verse explains, Bhramite bhramite yadi sadhu vaidhya paaye tara upadesha mantre pishachi palaye. Bhramite bhramite yadi sadhu vaidhya paaye. The great pure devotees of the Lord, they are compared to in this verse as Vaidya, as a physician. And a very special kind of Vaidya who is also simultaneously an exorcist. Now, all of we know that an exorcist is that person who helps someone who has been haunted by a ghost. So in this verse it is said, Tara Upadesha Mantre Pishachi Palai. That the living entity who has been haunted by this ghost of sense gratification. And he is so much haunted by this ghost of sense gratification that this living entity doesn't even know. Just like a person who is haunted by a ghost doesn't recognize, people around that person recognize that this person is haunted by a ghost. So when conditioned living entity is haunted by this ghost of sense gratification, the only way this person can be relieved from the haunting of that ghost is when he takes that mantra, mantra upadesh of this sadhu vaidya, of this pure devotee who is acting like an exorcist and who instills in the heart of this conditioned living entity a holy ghost, we can say, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we understand the situation which we are in within this material world as against these pure devotees which we read of in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the Brajvasis. We were singing the Geet sung by the gopis, in which their absorption, their dedication, their surrender is being seen to its zenith, to its summum bonum. And in their prayers of separation from Lord Sri Krishna, they are beginning when they say, Jayati te dhikam
Janmana vraja surata indriya shastra datrahi.
They are saying, jayati te adhikam janmana vraja. That, oh my dear Krishna, the day when you were born, the day of Janmashtami, when you were born, adhikam janmana vraja. Everything we see in Braja has become so opulent. Now, there are two versions of Krishna's taking birth. One, as we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna took birth, the prison house of Kamsa. So when Krishna took birth in the prison house of Kamsa, immediately Krishna, he showed his opulence to Devaki and Vasudev. So our acharyas explained that one of the reasons why Krishna showed his opulence to Devaki and Vasudev was to give them assurance, because Krishna's plan immediately was to leave Mathura and go to Gokul. So because that was his plan, and it was planned out by his own father, and Devaki knew about that, so before Devaki could even see Krishna properly, could relish Krishna's beauty, Krishna was supposed to leave and go to Gokul. So as a natural loving mother, the just born baby is now about to be separated. So definitely Mother Devaki would feel so much of concern, and especially in light of the situation when Kamsa had decided, he had taken a vow to kill Krishna. So that was the situation of this loving mother. So she was so much concerned, so Krishna could detect that in the heart of Mother Devaki, that she is so much concerned about me, I'll be sent to Gokul immediately. So therefore Krishna immediately showed his opulence and assured to Mother Devaki that, look at this. If you are disturbed in your mind that something might happen to me, some untoward thing might happen to me, then just look at these opulences which I am showing to you and be rest assured that I am capable enough to protect myself. Look at these weapons, Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. These weapons which I have, they are just one of these weapons. And in fact, he indicated to Mother Devaki that even if none of these weapons are with me, I am capable enough to protect myself. So therefore, don't be in anxiety. Don't be so much worried about me. And therefore, Krishna was taken by Nanda Maharaj, by Vasudev, to Gokul. And I was hearing from Govind Prabhu, who was quoting some Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, that when Vasudev was having Krishna in that small little basket on his head, and it was raining so heavily, and he was about to cross Mother Jamuna to reach Gokul Vrindavan. So we read how Mother Jamuna immediately she parted and she was giving way to Vasudev. In fact, initially she was rising up because she wanted to touch the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And she was rising up. In fact, that didn't deter the determination and the mission which Vasudev had to bring Krishna to Gokul. So she was rising up initially like a very violent river, and apparently it might be seen that Jamuna is a devotee of Krishna. How come Jamuna was not helping out Vasudev in order to cross? But Jamuna was thinking that this is the time, maybe I can be the first one to touch the lotus feet of my Lord. And therefore, and in fact, she was also waiting for this opportune moment. And then immediately she gave her way to Vasudev to cross. So the Acharyas explain what was Mother Jamuna thinking as she was giving way to Vasudev as he was carrying Krishna on his head. It is said that all the rivers, they are wives of the ocean. Ocean is considered to be like their husband. And therefore all the rivers, you know, they are feminine in nature. And they are rushing towards to meet with their husband, you know, with a full force, all the time, non-stop. So Mother Jamuna, who is also one of the wives of the big oceans, so she was thinking that just in the previous incarnation, what did I see? That the same Lord, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who appeared as Lord Ram, he, when he wanted to make that bridge across the ocean to go to Lanka, and Samudra Dev, my husband, was not helping him out initially. So my Lord Ram became so angry on Samudra Dev that just by his angry eyes, he started to boil up the entire ocean. And then Samudra Dev had to come with folded hands, beg forgiveness. So my husband had made that mistake of not helping out my Lord Ram, my Lord Krishna in his previous incarnation as Lord Ram. So therefore, in this incarnation again, he needs help. Not from my husband, now from me. So therefore, seeing the previous case history of my husband, I don't want to commit that same mistake of not giving way to my Lord. And therefore immediately, Mother Jamuna, she gave way to Vasudev, and Vasudev could carry. And the Acharyas, they kind of asked this question, that how is it that Vasudev, he was able to cross that river? And it is said that Lord Krishna, he acts like a setu for all the conditioned living entity to cross beyond the ocean of birth and death. So what was so difficult for Vasudev to just cross, you know, a simple devotee river like Jamuna, when the setu, when the bridge for all living entities were actually seated on his head? So what to speak of, you know, the bridge anywhere else? The bridge was on the very head of Vasudev. So what was so difficult for Vasudev to cross over Mother Jamuna on that particular night of Janmashtami? And then we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how in Vrindavan, Gokul, when all the Brajvasis, they understood that Mother Yashoda has given birth to such a lovely child. In fact, our Acharyas, they explain that when Krishna was born in that maternity room of Mother Yashoda, we have also the version of Jiva Goswami who explains how actually Krishna was born in Vrindavan simultaneously. And it was Vasudev Krishna who was born in Mathura. And the Shyam Sundar Krishna was actually born there in Vrindavan. So when Krishna was in the maternity room along with Mother Yashoda and all the other Brajavasis, the beauty of Krishna, generally we see that just newly born babies are not very beautiful. Maybe after a few months or a year, you know, when the skin becomes, you know, a little glossy or, you know, tightened up, then, you know, that baby looks a little attractive. But just born babies, you know, everything is shriveled up. And you can't even make out, you know, where is the eye, where is the nose, everything is just homogeneous, lump of flesh. But Krishna, immediately, he was that small, that size, but his beauty was unparalleled. In fact, at different times, Mother Yashoda, she was looking at Krishna and she was experiencing different kinds of beauty within Krishna. So immediately, first time, when Mother Yashoda looked to see Krishna after she had given birth, so she looked in the face of Krishna, and immediately Mother Yashoda, she started to shout out that, that who is this witch? Take away this witch who is beside me. And everyone was surprised. What is Mother Yashoda talking about? There is this lovely child of hers. And looking at Krishna, why is she calling out, who is this witch who has come to devour my son? So Kavi Karnapur explains in his writings that what actually Mother Yashoda was seeing, that when she looked in the face of Krishna, the cheeks of Krishna were so shining and they were so much glistening. In fact, they were acting like mirrors. So the two cheeks of Krishna were acting like two shiny mirrors. And when Mother Yashoda looked in the face of Krishna, she actually saw her own reflection. So when she saw her own reflection, instead of seeing Krishna, Krishna's beautiful lotus-like face, she thought that there is some lady sleeping next to me, which was actually her own reflection. And therefore she was shouting out loudly, who is this witch over here next to me? So then they explained to her that actually your son sleeping next to you, this Krishna, baby Krishna is next to you. So again she looked to find out whether it's really my son next to me. And this time she wanted to touch and get it confirmed. So she kind of touched with her hand the beautiful body of Lord Sri Krishna. And then she shouted out, why have you kept butter next to me? Where is my son Krishna? Why this butter is kept next to me? And again, everyone was a little confused. What's happening to Mother Yashoda? No. There is kind of some kind of identity crisis she's having about her son. So actually Krishna at that particular moment exhibited his body into that of soft butter. And actually Mother Yashoda, when she touched the smooth flowing skin of Krishna, it appeared as if she was touching butter. But then the Brajavasis, the gopis, they told to Mother Yashoda that just observe closely. Have you ever seen butter which is blue colored? And then Mother Yashoda realized, oh, actually, butter is never blue colored. And then she could, you know, somewhat sense that maybe my son is next to me. Then the third time she looked, and then again she shouted, why, instead of my son, there are these lotus flowers kept? And at that particular moment, Krishna exhibited his entire body, every part, like we sing Kunti's prayers. Nama Pankaja Nabaya, Nama Pankaja Malini. Everything is like a lotus flower. So all the different limbs of Krishna, it appeared like various, it was like a stream, it was like a row of blue-colored lotus. And therefore, Mother Yashoda was again confused that why instead of my son, there is this lotus flower over here. And the next time when she looked, she saw that it was, instead of her son, Krishna exhibited as blue sapphire diamonds all over, just strewn on her bed. And like that, all the time, Krishna immediately, as herein, the gopis, they are singing, Jayati te adhikam janma na vraja. Immediately when you took birth, adhikam vraja, the opulence of Krishna immediately, opulence of Vrindavan immediately was seen manifold times. And then when Krishna, he was on the lap of Mother Yashoda, And Mother Yashoda would every day feed baby Krishna with her own milk. So, we know of this one episode of Mrida Bhakshan Leela when Krishna showed his universal form. At that time he was a little older. He was going out playing with his cowherd boyfriends. But before that also once, when he was just infant baby, he was not able to walk or even crawl. He was just on the lap of Mother Yashoda. Even at that particular time, once he had shown his universal form, Mother Yashoda was feeding her milk. And Mother Yashoda saw that how is it that just few days Krishna has taken birth and I could see Krishna's teeth coming out. So what Krishna had done, Krishna used the milk drops from Mother Yashoda and turned it to appear like teeth, so that Mother Yashoda focuses on her face. So Mother Yashoda focused on Krishna's face to find out whether it's really teeth or it's just my own milk, droplets of that. And when Mother Yashoda was concentrating on the lotus face of Krishna, Krishna yawned. Now, just few days old baby, how much big the mouth must be? And what to speak when, you know, he opens his mouth yawning, you know, how much that mouth can open. But Mother Yashoda, when she saw within that open mouth of Krishna, she could see the entire universal creation and all that what we read of how Krishna showed his universal form later on also to Mother Yashoda. Few days later, Krishna, he started to crawl in the Angan of Nanda Maharaj. And he had waist bells, you know, attached to his waist. And he had ankle bells and anklets and bracelets, all the various ornaments. He was just dressed up in just the ornaments. There was no clothing on his body. So Krishna, that blue-colored, butter-like form of Krishna, was crawling the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And the bells, it started to ring as he was crawling, with which Krishna was indicating that this ringing of the bells is actually the inauguration of my pastimes now. It's like when something is inaugurated, so it is inaugurated with, you know, some sound, some blowing of conch shells or something like that. So Krishna only had his waist bells and ankle bells attached to his body, the only objects which could make any sound. So Krishna used them to indicate to all the Brajavasis that now I am inaugurating my wonderful Bal Leela in Vrindavan. And of course we know how Nanda Maharaj, he was fearing that that Kamsa, who is such an atrocious demon, and he had decided to kill the eighth son of Devaki. So Nanda Maharaj, he heard this news that Kamsa is sending his demons all over to kill all the innocent babies. So that was a time when Nanda Maharaj had to pay the Varshika Kar, had to pay the annual tax to Kamsa. And it was due. In fact, it was overdue. So Nanda Maharaj thought, out of concern for Krishna, that if I wait for Kamsa to come here to collect the dues, then Kamsa will see my Krishna and he might kill him. So therefore, better I should go myself and I should give the annual tax to Kamsa, and that's how I will avoid him coming into Vrindavan. So Nanda Maharaj went, and because Nanda Maharaj was such a close associate of even Vasudev, so he first met Vasudev. And in fact, Vasudev, he went to Nanda Maharaj alone. Vasudev intentionally didn't call Nanda Maharaj to his own home. One of the reasons why, because of Devaki. Because Devaki was so much in separation from Krishna, and It was a kind of a secret. Even Nanda Maharaj didn't know that Vasudev had exchanged baby Krishna for the daughter of Mother Yashoda. So if Devaki was taken along, or if Devaki meets with Nanda Maharaj and Devaki knows that her child is under the care of Nanda Maharaj, so immediately her motherly love will ask this question, how is my son? And she will reveal everything to Nanda Maharaj. So therefore, Vasudev went alone to meet with Nanda Maharaj, not taking Devaki, as she would disclose the secret. And without much talking, immediately Vasudev told to Nanda Maharaj that you should immediately go to Vrindavan, because mayad bhayam upasthitam, there is a great danger which is just round the corner, about to attack the whole of Vrindavan. Because Vasudev, after Krishna was born, Vasudev had all the access to all the secret meetings of Kamsa. So Vasudev knew what Kamsa was planning. And as Narad Muni had already agitated Kamsa, that, you know, you are a fool sitting over here and thinking that you will be able to kill Krishna. Krishna has already taken birth and he has just slipped out from your grips, and he's preparing the day when he'll come and kill you. And Kamsa became so fearful, so he was consulting his demonic associates. And his demonic associates, they were telling to Kamsa that, Kamsa, don't worry. That as far as this Krishna is concerned, if he's called as Vishnu or Bhagavan, don't worry, nothing will happen to you. Because these devotees, they say that he is seated in our heart as Paramatma. So anyways, he's locked up in everyone's heart. So even if he might have come out from your lockup, your prison, but we have heard that he's locked up in the hearts of all of his devotees. And there is no question that he'll be able to come out and kill you. So in one sense, they were right also, that Krishna was locked up in the hearts of his pure devotees. But Krishna, he is unlimited. He can simultaneously do both things. So Krishna, who was enjoying his wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, and here Nanda Maharaj was fearing, as Vasudev had given him this warning. So immediately the next morning, Nanda Maharaj left for Vrindavan, and he was thinking in his heart that what could be that danger which Vasudev was warning me against. And in the meantime, what Kamsa had done? Kamsa had sent this demoness Putana. In fact, she was the first demon which Krishna had to kill. And Krishna was only 6 days old when Krishna killed Putana. Can you imagine a child who is just 6 days old? And Putana was 8 miles long. With all her horrific glories, she had come to kill Krishna. And the way she came into Vrindavan, she assumed such a beautiful form. The form of Putana was so beautiful. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna used his covering potency first to cover all the Brajavasis, that they should not be able to recognize Putana. So first Krishna used his covering potency and covered all the Brajavasis. So when Putana came in the form of a beautiful gopi, all the elderly gopis, including Mother Yashoda and Rohini, when they looked at Putana in that beautiful form, they in fact thought that Lakshmi herself has come to see Narayan. And when they referred to Narayan, Chakravarti Thakur explains that Narayan was not Krishna. That Narayan was the deity of Narayan, which they had in their house. That Lakshmi has come to see her master Narayan in our house. So therefore, influenced by the covering potency of Krishna, they welcomed Putana in that particular form. And Shukadeva Goswami explains that when Putana entered into Vrindavan, and especially when she entered Nanda Bhavan was very big, and Krishna was in the inner chambers, the inner bedroom of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna was lying down. So immediately, the Jnana Shakti of Krishna influenced Putana. And immediately Putana could come to know where is Krishna. So Acharyas explained that Krishna was waiting and arranging for Putana somehow to reach to him. Because Krishna was desperate to deliver this envious witch. And therefore it is explained that whenever it comes to Krishna's fulfilling his desire, and when he sees that whatever that person's intentions might be, what to speak of a devotee, even if a devotee has a slight desire to please Krishna, Krishna doesn't concentrate on that insignificant desire of his devotee. In fact, Krishna concentrates on his capacity. He concentrates on his capacity to give to that devotee what he can give. And what is Krishna's capacity? Unlimited. So Krishna was concentrating more on how much he can exhibit the aspect of his mercy on this Putana. So immediately Putana could find out where Krishna was in the inner chambers of Nanda Bhavan. And Putana immediately entered. And Shukadeva Goswami explains that when Putana first time saw Krishna lying on the cradle, Putana immediately recognized that this child, I have been killing so many children. And she was expert in killing children. Putana Balaghatini, she was known as. So she was expert in killing children. But Putana, when she saw this child, immediately a fear kind of took birth within her heart. And she could recognize that this child is not ordinary. And Shukadeva Goswami explains that what was the scene when Putana was face to face with Krishna. Krishna, who is like an effulgent blazing fire, Krishna appeared as if that effulgent blazing fire was covered with ashes. That Krishna's glory was covered because of his small form. So the small form of Krishna appeared like ashes covering the effulgent, blazing, fire-like form of Krishna. So this was how Putana saw Krishna. And how did Krishna see Putana? When Krishna saw Putana, Putana's external form was like that of effulgent, blazing fire. But his heart, her heart, was like dry ashes. So that was the difference. That Krishna externally was covering his opulences in that human-like form, and he appeared as if blazing fire is covered with ashes, and Putana, who had dressed up like a devotee, and therefore the Acharyas explained that this is the glory of just dressing up like a devotee. That Putana had just dressed up like a devotee, and she was given Dhatru Chitam. She was given Dhatri Gati in the spiritual world just by dressing up like a devotee. But her heart was filled with, just like, you know, the fire which has ashes within it. And Shukadeva Goswami gives another analogy in order to demonstrate what was Putana's condition, what was his heart like. Putana's external form was so beautiful. So Shukadeva Goswami compares her external form to a soft sheath of a sword Mayan, just like, you know, the kings, they have that Mayan for the sword, for the talwar. And many times it is, you know, covered with velvet for the king to enjoy holding it and enjoy the touch sensation. So for the king, it is the soft sheath of the sword. But for the enemy, it is what is inside that sheath, the sharp sword. So therefore, this Putana, she had dressed up in such a soft form, which was very much attractive to all the other Brajavasis. But her heart was like the sharp sword within this soft sheath, which was for Krishna, when she wanted to kill her. And as Krishna had covered Mother Rohini and Mother Yashoda, she welcomed. And Putana, she recognized that this child is not ordinary. So Putana, she immediately wanted to work upon now on Krishna. Because she was thinking that if I keep looking at this Krishna, what will happen is that Krishna, he might influence me. And therefore, I might change my mind because this child is so beautiful. And Shukadev Goswami explains that immediately when Krishna looked at Putana, what did Krishna do? Did Krishna start preparing with his ammunition and with his bringing his armory and everything? Krishna closed his eyes. Nimili tekshanaha. Krishna, he conveniently closed his eyes. And our acharyas explain the significance of Krishna closing his eyes. One of the reasons Krishna closed his eyes was because Krishna, he wanted to indicate that if the first demon I have to kill is a woman, I don't want to, you know, look at this woman and kill her by looking at her. So therefore, he closed his eyes. And another reason why Krishna closed his eyes, that he was meditating on Lord Shiva. So he was meditating on Lord Shiva that, oh my dear Mahadev, it is your job to drink poison. You are famous as a drinker of poison. And what is this, you know? I have just taken birth in Vrindavan and I thought that I'll be offered with nice makhan, misri and all of that. And what is the first offering I'm getting? Poison is now about to come. So he was meditating on Lord Shiva that you kindly, if you are able to come and deal with this poison, because you are famous as drinker of poisons. So like that, there are many reasons given why Krishna, he closed his eyes. And Shukadev Goswami explains in a beautiful verse that Putana was so much influenced by the covering potency of Krishna again, that Putana, she lifted Krishna and put on her lap in order to feed that poisonous milk to Krishna. So Shukadev Goswami is like kind of playing upon the words in a beautiful verse in which he explains, Anantam aropayat ankam antakam. See, he uses these three words, Anantam, ankam, antakam. That Putana, when she lifted Krishna, she didn't realize that I'm lifting Ananta. I'm not just lifting an ordinary child like all the other children which I had killed. So Putana, she didn't realize that she's lifting Anantam and putting on her ankam, on her lap. And this Ananta is going to be her Antakam. So Shukadev Goswami is like using these three words. Anantam aropayat ankam antakam. And just like an ignorant person who thinks that this is a rope but lifts a deadly snake and puts on the lap. So for Putana, in fact, Krishna can act in dual ways. The acharyas explain that when Krishna, his limbs, the same lips which now Krishna will be using to kill Putana, Krishna used the same lips to call the gopis on the day of Sharad Purnima for the Ras Leela dance by playing upon the fifth note on his celebrated flute. The same lips he used, and the same lips turned the face of death for Putana. So Krishna's every limb has dual purposes. And they explain, just like when Krishna, he opens his palm. So the open palm of Krishna is as soft as the newly grown lotus petal. And the open palm is for the devotees to give blessings. And the same palm, when Krishna closes and makes it into a fist, then that same palm, which was just a moment ago as soft as a lotus petal for the demons like Keshi, that same open palm which turns into a fist becomes as hard as the thunderbolt. So therefore, Putana, she was not recognizing that what she is encountering with. And then she offered her breast to Krishna, and Krishna started to drink the milk first from Putana's breasts. And as Krishna was drinking the milk initially, Krishna became totally absorbed, because Krishna was thinking of Devaki. That Mother Devaki, she was supposed to feed me her milk. And as Krishna was absorbed thinking of Devaki and her milk, Krishna didn't even realize that he had sucked away all the milk, all the poison, and now the life air was flowing. So because Krishna was totally oblivious to, you know, what was happening, in fact, he started to suck away her life air also. And then immediately Putana started to shout out, "Samunchati, Samunchati, leave me." And Acharya explains that this is the nature of Krishna. Once Krishna catches someone, he doesn't leave that person. So Krishna was holding on to Putana very tightly. And then Krishna, using his Samhara Shakti, Krishna as Paramatma in the heart indicated to Putana that you take me out of this Nanda Bhavan, because otherwise you will create a bloody mess here. So Krishna immediately thought that Nanda Bhavan should be protected first. So using his Samhara Shakti, Krishna indicated to Putana that immediately take me out of Nanda Bhavan. And Putana, immediately she started to cry out so loudly, and before she could take her, that horrific form, 8 mile long form, she first took Krishna without knowing anything why she's going out. She took Krishna outside, you know, in the open grounds. And then Mother Yashoda and Rohini, when they were looking, when they were looking at Putana, that how come this Lakshmi has turned into Durga? What has happened to this Lakshmi who had come to see our Narayan? And Krishna made sure, the question can be asked, that when Krishna sucked out everything from Putana, all the contaminations and her life air, and when Putana assumed that huge form, monstrous mammoth size, that 8 mile long form, so Putana was then about to fall. Now Krishna made sure that Putana goes to that section of Brajamandal where Vishwanath Chakra Thakur explains that Kamsa had his personal garden. And that particular garden where Kamsa had planted all the fruit-laden trees for his own enjoyment. So Krishna very expertly influenced Putana to avoid all the houses of the Brajavasis, all the Kalpavriksha trees of Vrindavan, and Putana fell on the personal garden of Kamsa. So the only thing which was destroyed when Putana fell was actually the personal garden of Kamsa. And all the fruits were fallen over there. And of course, then we know how the Brajvasis, they realized that it was actually a demon in disguise of a gopi or Lakshmi who had come to kill our... And immediately, Shukadeva Goswami explains that Akuto Bhayam, how the Brajvasis, the gopis especially, they were so fearless. Putana was still alive as Krishna had just taken out her life. That she was, they were not fearful about their life. Immediately they climbed up on the body of Putana to get back Krishna. Now, even if Putana might have just moved her big huge arm, the description is given that, you know, her eyes were like deep dark wells, her nostrils were like caves, then her navel was like a dried up lake, you know, her breasts were like big huge peaks of mountains, and Krishna was playing upon them. So Krishna was playing thinking, I have a new playground now to play on. Just like, you know, children, when they see some new playground, immediately they want to use it for their, you know, playful activities. So Krishna immediately started playing upon the body of Putana. And the gopis, immediately they took Krishna down and they started immediately the first aid treatment. And what was the first aid treatment of Vrindavan? Cows. Cow therapy. You know, gobar and, you know, gaumutra, goraj, and everything was brought. And it was smeared on the body of Krishna. And gopuchha, brahmanadibi. And gopuchha was being waved around the body of Krishna. And, you know, they were feeling that, you know, cow is the only one who can now, at this moment, protect, you know, our baby Krishna. So Acharyas explained that when Krishna was just 6 days old, received all this protection from the cows, Krishna took a vow on that day that since you have protected me today, from this day on, I'll be known as Gopal. For the rest of my life, I'll be protecting all of you cows. So Krishna, he took that vow on that particular day to protect all the cows in reciprocation for the cows who had given protection to Krishna. And then they were chanting mantras, and then they had to make a decision that what to do with this huge body of Putana, supposed to be cremated, but where can we find such a big crematorium? So then the whole body, 8 mile long body of Putana, was cut into pieces, and then it was burnt. And then what was the smell which came out? It was the smell of aguru which was coming out when Putana's body, dead body, was being burnt. So Acharyas explained what are the various reasons why Putana's body was smelling like aguru. One of the reasons that Krishna had taken out all the contamination. It is said that because of the subtle contamination within our heart, our body also, you know, radiates all the contamination in the form of bad odor and all of that. So Putana's body also was completely purified because Krishna had sucked out all the contamination from her body. So there was no question of anything which would smell bad in Putana. So this was one reason. And another reason, many times we see that when people die, they are cremated on the banks of a holy river like Ganga. And many times, if they don't have that facility, dead bodies is just thrown in Ganga. Because Ganga is so auspicious that even if that dead body, soul has gone, but the body touches Ganga, you know, that soul can get a proper destination. Why Ganga has got that power? Because Ganga is coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. So here, what to speak of Ganga, which is indirectly kind of connected to the lotus feet of Krishna. The lotus feet of Krishna, self same, were on the body of Putana. So what to speak of Putana's fortune, when dead and gone people of this world, they get benefited by the waters which has been touched by the feet of Krishna. And here, the self-same feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead were playing upon, not just the feet, but the entire body of Krishna was playing upon the body of Putana. And the third reason, that when somebody dies, and if a proper Purohit or that Pandit does the samskar, Anteshi samskar, properly, then that dead person gets benefited. What to speak of any ordinary Purohit or Pandit who performed the last rites? The Brajvasis, the topmost of all devotees of Krishna, they were performing the last rites. And finally, the final reason why Putana's body was smelling like a guru, that she died in Vrindavan, the most glorious of all holy places. People, they yearn and plan out that somehow they should be able to leave their body in Vrindavan. So these were some of the reasons why Putana's body was smelling like a guru. Her whole 8 mile long body was like a 8 mile long aguru incense stick, smelling like that. And then Shukadeva Goswami explains in conclusion that what is the glory of Krishna and what is the fortune of Putana. Putana, she was born Rakshasi. In fact, it was their family business. Putana, Bakasur, Aghasur, family business of killing Krishna. So Putana, who was born Rakshasi, and that too amongst the Rakshasis, she was the most degraded, that she would kill kill children, small children, Balaghatini. So Putana was Rakshasi and Balaghatini on top of that. And not just she would just kill, Shukadeva Goswami explains, Rudhir Ashana. After killing, she would drink their blood. Now it's okay, you know, if somebody kills, but at least doesn't do meat eating. But she, after killing, would eat and drink their blood, these, you know, innocent babies' blood. Rudhir Ashana. But this was not all. Putana had come to kill which baby? Jigham Shayapi Haraye. That she had come to kill the supreme most of all babies, Lord Sri Krishna. So therefore, seeing all these disqualifications of Putana, there was no question that Putana could get anywhere as far as liberation is concerned. But Uddhav, when he recites that verse, Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakutam Jigham Shayapayadapya Sadhavi Lebhe Gatim Dhatruchitam Tatonyam Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Rajema. Who could be more Dayalu than Krishna? That this Putana came with those ill intentions, and what was the position which Krishna awarded to Putana? Dhatri Gatam. It is explained that there are these two nurses. One is called Ambilika, and the other, I am forgetting the name. These are the two nurses who nurse Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And these two nurses were assisted by Putana. Immediately she was gone to the highest abode, Goloka Vrindavan, where she was assisting these two nurses of Krishna. And Govind Prabhu was explaining that we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when that Jara, when he hit with his arrow at the toe of Krishna, as the nature of any child, when the child is attacked by someone, what does the child do? Small babies, when they are confronted with some danger, immediately they cry out for their mother. Mama or mummy or whatever. They cry out for their mother. So when Krishna, who was at that time 125 years old, when he was hit by the arrow of this Jara, Krishna also cried out for his mother. Naturally out of love. And three mothers came immediately. When Krishna cried out for help of his mother, Devaki, Yashoda, and guess who was the third one? Putana. Third was Putana. Putana came running. So that is the mercy of Krishna, which we can see in this particular episode. And the Acharyas explain that anyone who just meditates on this particular pastime of Krishna sucking the breast of Putana, anyone just meditates on this pastime will never have to suck anyone's breast in this material world again. Which means he doesn't have to take birth in this material world, go into someone's womb and do that in the next life. So that is the glory of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.